Welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Hi, Sue.
Great to have you on the program. Nat, can you tell us about your brand, Gippsland Jersey Mill? Oh. What's your story?
Sure. Look, the story is that I was born into the dairy industry. I grew up in Lakes Entrance, and we had a unique situation where we had a dairy farm, we milked cows, and then we also had a factory next door to that dairy where we made ice cream, and then we also had ice cream shops. So it was very much a value-added family business. I joke and say that I didn't go to school until grade six because we were all used as slave labour. it was an amazing childhood, and I've learnt lots of valuable life lessons in that situation. But fast forwarding down the track, I went to Melbourne, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I took a little. I studied PR, had no idea what public relations was, and I was very fortunate enough to get work experience in a boutique PR agency in Melbourne. And for a country girl working in a Melbourne agency that looked after consumer brands, one of our clients was Foster's, and my second day on the job I was told that to pack my bags because I was travelling around Australia putting on grid girl competitions, and I had to just quietly ask the older girl in the office what a grid girl was. So, yes, I spent, a fair bit of time shoving breasts into bras and whatnot. But, anyway, I was also involved in the farmers market movement when that first started up, and just to make a little bit of extra money and, pay the rent while I was at uni, and I was selling my dad's ice cream. And at that same time I was invited along to a raw milk movement that was sort of taking off. And I was the only person in the room that had access to raw organic milk. So the people in that room somehow convinced me to quit my job that I was really kind of enjoying, even though I look back at the time now and I'm like, I can't believe I was involved doing some of the things that we did. But I went actually back to Lakes Entrance with my dad, and we started up a little brand called Aphrodite Bath Milk in, I think it was about 2005, 2006. And I absolutely loved it. And we were just, selling milk for cosmetic purposes. But I, at the same time, married a man who was from the city who said he'd never live in the country. To his credit, he did move down. And but after probably a year, he said, look, Sally, I'm not a dairy farmer. I'm not a fisherman. I just can't live in lakes. He's not... So anyway, we ended up moving back into Warrigal, which is an hour out of Melbourne, and that was great for his work. And I was scratching my head to sort of figure out what I was going to do in life, and I basically worked up at Mount Baw-Baw. I'd never been to the snow before, worked in there as their marketing person. And I got pregnant and came back to Warrigal and started up the Warrigal Farmers Market with another girl from my mum's group, which was fabulous. And I just love creating community and being involved in, strengthening what we've got. And if you want to live in a good community, you've got to, play an active part, and I truly believe that. That was beautiful and whatnot. And at the same time, my family's farm and their business was winding up because it was sort of, there was no one to sort of take on the farm. And Dad leased the farm and they sold their business, and Mum and Dad moved back down to Warrigal with us. And in that time, we didn't know what was happening with Dad, and he was, in hindsight, suffering and going through mental health issues. As a man who's the dad and who you've always trusted to make big decisions, and you'd never expect that person to be suffering. So, long story short is that he actually did take his own life, and it was one of those moments in my world that I'll probably never have that sort of heartbreak feeling. What does one do when someone takes their life? And I guess there is stigma attached to suicide. And I think I decided sort of over a few days of discovering what my dad had done was that it's actually not something to be ashamed of, that mental health is real. It's no different from someone having a cancer, and we just need to basically talk about it more. But I didn't sort of know the journey ahead of me from there on in. I had no idea.
So what did you do?
Well, the dairy crisis hit a few months after, and through the farmers market, people just started contacting us through the social media page saying, what milk can we buy that's truly farmer-owned? You know, we want to support our Gippsland farmers. And there is no farmer-owned milk in Gippsland, even though we're one of the biggest dairy regions and, you know, we produce amazing milk. But there is no industry. You know, all the milk just gets put on tanks and is taken off to Fonterra or whatever, and they're all multinationals. You know, it's all foreign ownership. So what happened in that dairy crisis is morally wrong. And when we had a dairy farming panel, dairy farmers came to the farmers market and ABC Gippsland, they came and hosted a conversation, we had hundreds of people show up, they bought vouchers and shopping, and people just genuinely wanted to support farmers. And there's a guy here, Steve Reynolds, who has a dairy farm in Jindavik, and obviously he was one of those farmers that lost a lot of money on that day that the crisis came out, and he had already sort of started bubbling and thinking about the idea of wanting to put his milk into a bottle, but he didn't necessarily know how he would market his milk, because I think, you know, farmers are farmers, they do that job really well, but going back to that time where I spent in that PR agency and having that experience of consumer brands and just understanding how you can piece it together to sort of, you know, make it all work. You know, there's a little bit of, I guess, strategy around that. And he actually, it was his idea. He suggested, well, we could do an honour project for your dad and bottle my milk. And in my mind, I just thought, yeah, I think that's what dad would want. Like, you know, I had to really... it was actually a no-brainer when that sort of the dairy crisis hit and the dairy farm panel. I actually texted Steve after the farmers market and I said, "Yep, let's do it." And
so, what did you do?
We started a milk brand. It's called Gippsland Jersey. So we decided on I think it was June 15th or something, and we had milk in a bottle September 17th. 3 months later. It was such a quick startup from, you know, deciding we'd do something to having it in a bottle.
So that was last year?
Last year, 12 months.
So it's only 12 months you've been going?
Correct.
And what have you done in that time? What have you achieved?
Oh, so the three pillars to our brand is that it's all about fair price for the farmer. So no matter what happens, it's all about that farmer getting paid a fair price before the milk even leaves his gate. Because the way that it works now, it's complicated, but it doesn't work like that. So the farmers are obviously just, you know, they get told what they're getting paid. They can't set their price. The second part of the brand is that we want to talk about mental health. We want to raise those issues and just, I guess, swing that open and smash that stigma. And the third element of it is kindness. And that is sort of like a bit of a marketing tool flying around the traps at the moment, and it's sort of on trend. But for us, it's not on trend. It's actually genuinely real. So we put away a couple of cents out of every milk bottle, and we hear of farmers. Like, we're very much on the ground here. So we hear of these problems and we can just, you know, send that person off for a haircut or a... get off the farm for 24 hours, we'll pay for their relief milker to get fresh perspective. And often it's just like a phone call to that farmer and they'll say, like, thanks for calling. Like, thanks for even asking. Like, they're just blown away that the fact that someone would care. And then secondly, when you say, can we do something for you, they're like, farmers are typical for it. They're like, oh, no, someone else is better off than me. You know, you get it with someone else. But it's just, that's my favourite part of the job, because I know that when my dad was sick, when someone showed kindness in a situation where even, you know, as a family member, like when someone's kind to you, it breaks everything down, and it just, I guess, it gives you fresh hope in life. you know, it's just a beautiful thing. So that's, I love it. We've partnered with the Ripple Effect. The journey has been, you know, so rich. There's just not enough time in this interview to go into all the details. But
you've obviously helped a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, like, I don't know. I don't know what we've done. There's been no time for reflection, but social media has played a huge part of our journey, and we didn't have a marketing budget or anything like that. So, yeah, we do have our social media channels just